Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our next sermon in our series on the seven churches of Asia Minor is recorded in Revelation chapter 3, reading there verses 1 to 6. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, there are pastors and congregations in the visible church that we would call activists. It's common to see a man or a woman with a clerical collar around his or her neck in the middle of some social demonstration. Entire congregations have been known to become involved in social conscience activities and social causes and political movements. These congregations have the reputation of being alive, active, and busy. But Jesus tells us that they are not, and gives no commendation to them, even as they existed in the city of Sardis. This is the only letter that begins with a criticism and call to repent. There is a brief word of praise to the few who had remained faithful in Sardis. So this morning we want to take a look at those words that Jesus told the Apostle John to the angel of the church in Sardis, write. True activity is being alive, but this congregation in Sardis that had the reputation of being alive was well known, but for different reasons. When Jesus said, "I know you," he didn't speak about that reputation for busyness and activity that they had in that great city of Sardis. But rather, looking at their hearts, Jesus said, rather, "You are dead." Busyness is not the same thing as being busy with our Father's business. There are congregations like that congregation in Sardis in the church today. It seems that any time some social concern or some activity took place in the city of Sardis, that congregation was right there in the midst of it, was being busy with those things. We see those congregations today in their pastors who are always involved in matters of poverty, hunger, social justice, political influence. Their shepherds are often arrested and jailed because they don't draw any distinction between legal activity and civil disobedience. In reality, those congregations are dead, and their congregations are dying out because they are not about the Father's business. The glorified Christ does not mean here in any way that we should not care about the poor, that we should not be concerned or involved in the world in which we live, or that we should never speak out for justice in the world. But that is not our mission. That is not the beating heart of either the communion of saints or our congregation. Busyness in the world is not doing the business of our Heavenly Father. John was told to write to the angel the message that angel was to share with God's people. What is the Father's business? It is preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is administering the sacraments of holy baptism and the sacrament of the altar. We are to forgive the sins of the penitent and to retain the sins of the impenitent in that ministry of the keys that Jesus gave to the church. Our business, the Father's business, our activities centered around the Word and Sacrament may not look like busy activity to the world. They may think that we're really not doing anything because we're not getting involved in the issues of this life. God assures us in His Word, and Jesus calls that church to repentance, to obey the Word, to go back to that gospel that they heard before, because they're dying. In fact, many of them were dead in their hearts because they had gotten so involved in what we would call social gospel that they were ignoring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus calls them to repent, to recognize that sin, to get back to their Father's business. God promises us that as we do that, that we will grow and we will grow strong. I read an article in the newspaper the other day that was talking about this very thing. And the author of that article wrote in part, quote, "Churches that make strong demands in doctrine and in service tend to grow. Churches that water down doctrine tend to decline. It should not be hard to understand why. Many people seek structure and community. A church that makes strong demands and requires strong commitment can provide them." Unquote. You and I, by God's grace, enjoy that community of saints. We enjoy that orderliness and that strong, strengthening thing of service in liturgy and guided by God's Word. We enjoy a unity of faith and common confession. If you look at churches that are socially active and socially busy, or clergy who are involved in social activity as the primary function that they see for themselves, you see that they are very weak in the gospel, that they are very weak in the sharing of God's Word. But there were some in Sardis who were still retaining that word of God. And as Christ would, through John, call those who had fallen away from that to repentance, he also commends those who had not fallen into that trap. He commends those who had remained true to the gospel of Christ. But how John's would now, through Jesus, bring about that repentance and that strengthening, we get a hint in the way Jesus describes himself in this letter. These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. The seven spirits of God is another name for the Holy Spirit. And the stars, as we heard before, the seven stars are the seven pastors of those churches. How would that congregation in Sardis be made alive again? How would it live so that it did not die out as a Christian congregation? By the power of the Holy Spirit sent from Christ to its pastors. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through the gospel of salvation, as it's faithfully taught and preached by called servants of the Word, lead us from death to life. They call us from repentance, from being busy with things that don't really matter for our salvation, to being about our Father's business of preaching the Word and administering the sacraments. It is the Holy Spirit who strengthens us when we repent and strengthens those also who have not fallen into that error. Using the means of grace is true spiritual activity. Man by himself may be busy and have a reputation of being a church that is busy, but it is the Holy Spirit that leads and makes our church do our Father's business and be busy with that also. The only hope of any congregation that is dying is not to become busy. The hope of a dying congregation is to be about the Father's business, to cling to the gospel, to share the Word of God. And as we do that, God gives us the promise of this letter. Jesus speaks of those who have not soiled their clothes, but who are dressed in white. Soiling clothes is another word for unbelief or impenitence. Those who had turned away from Christ had soiled their clothes. And in those soiled clothes of unbelief, you can't walk with Christ. But those who did not do that, those who believe, are dressed in white and walk with Christ. That is the white robe of Christ's righteousness that we wear through faith. Jesus says of believers, they will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, that is those who repent of this busyness, he who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and before the angels. The book of life here is our election to salvation. It is God's calling us to faith. It is a description of us who, by the power of the Holy Spirit, as it is proclaimed and administered in the sacraments, will have our names written through all eternity in that book of God's grace. The believers in Sardis who heard what the Spirit said to the church would repent and they would not die, but would live. And when the congregation did that, the congregation would not be a dying congregation anymore, but would be a living congregation and a growing congregation. That congregation would have a bright future. Those believers in that congregation would have a bright future. As we repent, as we go about our Father's business, we also have a bright future. A bright future with our names written in the book of life. A bright future dressed in the white robes of Christ's righteousness to walk with Jesus forever. And as we turn away from the busyness of this world and turn rather to our Father's business, our congregation will never be a dying congregation. And we will always be living saints. Amen. And now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.